It started with the hashtag MeToo. Now, after the sexual assault allegations that have put Judge Brett Kavanaugh's once seemingly inevitable Supreme Court confirmation in jeopardy, there's a new social media movement that's empowering survivors of sexual assault and abuse. The hashtag #WhyIDidn'tReport came after President Trump questioned in a tweet why Christine Blasey Ford never reported her alleged abuse to law enforcement 36 years ago. Gabe Kripe at the YWCA McLean County Stepping Stones program tells GLT's Eric Stock about how the latest campaign is changing the way we talk about sexual violence.
As we're navigating these really difficult conversations, and while we're talking about these hot button issues, there's people in our community that that are affected by these issues, that are hurt by these issues, and that are really still healing from some of the trauma caused by these issues. That our message is to survivors is that, you know, we're here for you, that we support you, and that if you're not feeling supported by your friends and family, we hope that you know that you can turn to Stepping Stones, you can turn to the YWCA, and that there's people in your community who want to support you and help you connect to whatever resources it is that you need.
Since the Why I Didn't Report movement became a thing, similar to the Me Too movement when that started last year, many women, some men, took to social media to explain why they had kept quiet about the allegations, often centered around they didn't think anyone would believe them, they were humiliated, they blamed themselves. Based on the experiences that you hear from your clients, what are some of the leading reasons why victims, women or men, boys or girls, didn't report what happened to them?
Yeah, a lot of the same stuff that you just mentioned. I would encourage folks, if they have questions about and that's something that they think about, oh, why wouldn't somebody report, or why would somebody wait that long to report? I would encourage them to, you know, jump on whatever social media they use, enter in that hashtag of why I didn't report, and really hear directly from survivors on why they didn't report. The things that we hear are, feelings of guilt and shame, feeling like they played a role in their assault, or that if they come forward with this, that people will view them as guilty, which is something that we do see a lot. We hear from people that the person who assaulted them was somebody that they know and somebody that they trust. Maybe it was somebody that they're going to have future interactions with, and they don't want to go through that process.
The challenge in having this conversation in this place and time is that it is entrenched in a very highly politicized situation, maybe one of the biggest political battles in our generation right now. For those who are coming out and explaining why they didn't report, how do you feel that it's helping them in the healing process, or is it?
I think it's different for everyone. I think we see folks who are really empowered by the Me Too movement, by the Why I Didn't Report hashtag, by hearing other people's stories. We certainly see people finding comfort in their community and recognizing that this is something their community cares about. This is something that other people in their community are dealing with. We certainly see that. I think we do see some folks who, like I said, when it's super prevalent, when it's all over social media and all over the news, that can be difficult for people to, you know, log into social media and expect to see posts about cats and YouTube videos and sports and all that, and then maybe be confronted with something that they're not quite ready to think about at that time.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock. We are speaking with Gabe Kripe, the Director of Community Outreach for the YWCA of McLean County Stepping Stones Program. One sidebar issue in relation to this particular case they're referring to, Brett Kavanaugh's possible confirmation to the Supreme Court. Dozens of women came out in support of Judge Kavanaugh hours after the allegations were first detailed. A similar thing happened after Tom Brokaw was accused of sexually harassing female colleagues during his time at NBC. Now, it's clear what the intent of these letters and messages were, but how do they contribute to the conversation when someone might say, okay, they were the perfect gentleman around me, does that mean that these allegations must be false?
Yeah, it certainly does not. I think, you know, having done this work for a little bit now, you know, what we're taught and what I've come to realize is that the the person who has the ability to sexually assault someone and to offend someone is not typically what is portrayed in the media. It's not typically what's portrayed on Law & Order SVU. And a lot of times it is someone that we know, someone that we trust, somebody that by all other accounts is a likable person. And so, you know, for other folks to come out and say, well, you know, this person didn't do this to me, or they treated me this way, while, you know, that might be valid and that might be true, that doesn't discount the fact that other people have had different experiences with that person and other people are voicing those experiences, and that we definitely need to listen to them as well.
Now, we are all familiar with the Duke Lacrosse case, mm-hmm. as I'm sure you are.
Yeah.
Three students accused of raping a female student in 2006. The faces of these three young men were splashed on media all over the country, a case that was later dropped. It mm-hmm. was considered a case of an overzealous prosecution. And that case has now found its way into the narrative 12 years later, sure. as some are saying, we can't rush to judgment and presume guilt without corroborating evidence. How can we juggle both not rushing to judgment while still giving survivors the comfort and support they need?
Yeah, there's a few things that I would say to that. One is that false reporting gets made out to be this epidemic, this thing that is happening all over the place, this thing that people, specifically boys and men, need to be very, very worried about. And the reality is that false reporting does not happen very often. Some estimates, the most reliable research we have has that at about 2 to 8%. So some studies having it at 2, one study having it at 8, and then a couple others having it between 2 and 5. And so this idea that this is something that happens, this myth, another piece of research says that that the average college student believes that 50% of reports of sexual assault are false. So that's alarming. Obviously, those two statistics don't coincide. And so there's this myth that that's something that men need to be worried about, that that's something that men need to be worried about. And that's not the case. In actuality, men are more likely to be the victims of sexual assault than they are to be the victims of a false report of sexual assault. And so I think that's something that we need to keep in mind as we contextualize the conversation.
And in our final moments with Gabe Kripe from YWCA Stepping Stones, how do you view the genesis of the Me Too movement in, say, 10 to 20 years, based on how the conversation has already changed in just the last year or so? What might its legacy be?
Yeah, you know, I hope when we look back on this time period that we look back on it really as a time where people became aware. And so as we're in this, you know, with the hashtag now being why I didn't report, and we're looking back on the Me Too hashtag and some of the other stuff that has been prevalent, like the Brock Turner case, the kid from Stanford, that stuff that makes headline news, I feel like at this point where we're at now, you know, folks maybe 2 or 3 years ago might have said, like, I haven't thought about these issues. I haven't had the opportunity to work through these issues. I haven't had the opportunity to hear women's perspectives or, you know, whatever the person's reasoning for not quite being on board or not quite understanding is. That right now we're in a moment that you have a wonderful opportunity for that. You have a really good opportunity to just jump online and search a hashtag and get answers to some of the questions that you might have. You have an opportunity to hear people's experiences. You have an opportunity to really listen and soak in that information. And so I hope that when we look, 10, 20 years down the road at this time period, that the folks who, you know, are alive now would look back on this moment and say, like, that is when I understood. That's when I took the time to educate myself. And that's when I really decided that I'm going to support survivors, that I'm going to work to create a community that is safe for survivors of sexual assault, and that this is kind of that time period where that education happens.
Kripe says he hopes the Me Too and Why I Didn't Report social media movements will spark a conversation so we can better understand each other as a community. He spoke to GLT's Eric Stock.